Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday. We've got plenty of stuff for you here coming up. We now know the full non-conference men's and women's basketball schedules. The women actually released late last week and then the men on Monday, so we can sort of set up your November and beyond. Yeah, just a couple of months away from basketball season. 7 weeks, actually, to be specific. We knew there would be some weekly honors for soccer, a big one on the women's side. And yes, you'll hear both goals scored by the man now known as Gabby Goal, who was on the weekly honor roll as far as the men's side goes. We'll kind of give you an outlook for both the men and the women. We gave you their results on Monday's show, but there was so much with football that we didn't get to spend too much time on soccer. We'll do that here today. We'll also give you the outlook coming up this weekend and entering conference play for the volleyball squad. And we've got some clips from yesterday's football radio show that'll be coming up in our second block. Yeah. Here's the basketball schedule. Now, we know who the opponents are going to be, obviously, when it comes to conference. We just don't know the dates on those. Generally, those begin at the beginning of the next calendar year, so your 2021 is all decked out. And the men will be starting off at home. You'll get plenty of chances to see Brian Gregory's team. In fact, the first day that anybody can play, and this has kind of been the case for USF, will be a doubleheader. Now, we don't have all the times on these yet, but we do know Tuesday, November the 9th, you can mark it down. The men will be going up against Bethune-Cookman, which will be eager to get back out on the court again. The MEAC did not play any games last year. Bethune-Cookman now in the SWAC, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, while the women on the same day will be going up against a team I'm pretty sure they never played before. In fact, I'm positive because it's, as it's known now, a school that's only been around since 2015. That is UTRGV, Texas Rio Grande Valley, the Vaqueros, who went well below 500 last year in the WAC conference. That'll be your doubleheader to start off the season. What's yet to be sorted out is who will go first, who will go second, but you know that we'll be all over it on USF Bulls Unlimited. I have a matrix that is going to be activated here on my computer, a spreadsheet where I put down, you know, all the different sports, even if they're on the road, because there's a possibility from time to time that we can call road matches. We will be traveling with basketball this year, so we'll get all of those games not only broadcast, but yeah, last year was what it was, as yours truly and Bridget Miranda were in a studio in Amalie Arena. There was nothing wrong with the studio. It's just very strange. It's like calling a basketball game from your office at home, and it just didn't have that same vibe to it. And I know Jim Lighthall and Joey Johnston feel the same way on the men's side. Although our setup was great, it'll be awesome to be back on the road and give you the actual vibes of the games. More on the road in just a second. There will be some nice road trips for us, but back to the men's basketball schedule and how it is very home-centric. In fact, the first six games, and right now anyway, there is a large gap between November the 24th and December the 14th. Something tells me that that gap will not remain. There will be something else added to the schedule. As a matter of fact, if you look at Boston College's website, bceagles.com, remember a couple years ago the Bulls hosted Boston College. On that website, it does say that the Boston College Eagles are hosting the Bulls on Monday, November the 29th. Now, that would make sense, of course. It would fill in the what now is a three-week gap on the Bulls' schedule. We'll let you know once we find out about that. But as it stands, the Bulls have a three-week gap between games from November the 24th to December the 14th back at home against Austin Peay. After that, 4 days later, they'll go to Sunrise, the BB&T Center, and play against the Florida Gators. That's Saturday, December the 18th, and then off to Hawaii. The Diamond Head Classic, the first opponent, is a very good one, BYU. This is leading up to Christmas, December the 22nd on a Wednesday. They'll either get Hawaii or Vanderbilt the next day, and then their final game will actually be on Christmas Day at the Stan Sheriff Center on the campus of the University of Hawaii. And then back home 4 days later, maybe a little road weary, but Mississippi Valley State will be the opponent at the Yingling Center. So the Bulls, as it stands, don't actually have a true road game on their non-conference schedule, but keep that Boston College date in the back of your mind. It was released late last week, so we didn't have it on Bulls Beat, but the women's schedule is out as well. We mentioned UTRGV, Rio Grande Valley. Back in 2015, the two schools, Texas Brownsville and Texas Pan Am, merged into the new name, by the way. That's why I know that the Bulls have never played this school. The second game will be at home against Alabama State, which went 16-4 last year, playing out of the Southwestern Athletic Conference. So two games in 3 days, November the 9th, again to start things off, then that November the 11th, then it's off to Knoxville, Tennessee as part of the American Athletic Conference SEC Challenge on a Monday night. And yep, that'll be my first road trip with the team. Well, in the regular season in a couple of years, did get to go, you know, to the conference tournament and the NCAA tournament last year, so that wasn't so bad. Speaking of not so bad, Battle for Atlantis in Paradise Island, the Bahamas, Saturday, November the 20th against Syracuse. We had previously announced this. And then the second day, it'll be either UConn or Minnesota. Other side of that bracket, Oregon, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Buffalo. So that is going to be a big-time event. Then, again, we hang around. I don't know what we're going to do in the Bahamas for 3 days of not work. Anyway, Friday, November the 26th, merely against the defending national champion Stanford playing at a separate event. Now back to the part of the schedule we didn't know, and two road games, along with the trip to Knoxville. They're going to come back from the Bahamas and get set to turn around. And I know this is a change to the schedule. They did originally have a game back at home right after the Bahamas, but they nixed that, and that makes sense. They will head to Texas Arlington, Thursday, December the 2nd. That's an interesting one. It seems like an opponent that normally would be coming to the Yuengling Center, not vice versa, but I'll get to the bottom of that. Not that I'm complaining, and that's definitely a good team. Mavericks went 13-7 last year, 11-4 in the Sun Belt, and oh, by the way, 8-1 at home. Then a team that the Bulls hosted 2 years ago. They'll take the return trip to Richmond, Virginia to face a VCU Rams team that made it to the NCAA tournament last year, sprung up and won the Atlantic 10. So again, Jose Fernandez loading up on the schedule. Those games in the Bahamas, those four games are going to be unbelievable as far as adding to their RPI. And then going to Tennessee won't hurt it either. Neither will two more games after the Bulls come back home first, December the 15th to play Stetson, and the following Friday, December the 17th against High Point. It'll be off to West Palm for an event. They will play West Virginia Monday, December the 20th, and then they'll play Ole Miss the following day. I mean, this is as elite of a non-conference schedule as you can get. I know that there are some teams that schedule pretty strong in the American, but no one's going to beat what the Bulls have. They hope to be playing UConn. If they beat Syracuse that first game in the Bahamas, they will. They'll also end up playing Stanford guaranteed in the Bahamas to Tennessee, Ole Miss, West Virginia. That is an amazing schedule, and it ends up on Wednesday, December the 29th against a familiar opponent in Jacksonville. One thing I got to say, and we all know what's happening with the three teams that are leaving the American, I think women's basketball, it just depends on how you look at it, is going to be most affected by that. And this kind of non-conference schedule is what they're going to have every single year in order to have any sort of RPI, because frankly, losing UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston hurts. Now, on the other side, you have to look at it positively. The Bulls could simply dominate this conference and not have any issues making it to the NCAA tournament because they'll win the conference every year, but you don't want to assume that, right? You want to make sure you have a tough non-conference schedule. You'd have to think that with all the possibilities of scheduling non-conference games, that as long as the other side is willing, that USF and UCF will continue to play in women's basketball. It just wouldn't be twice a year. It would be once. Ironically, while I'm thinking about it, the football series might be discontinued because of the Bulls, only because their non-conference, as you know, is filled up for the rest of the decade, and you'll, I'm sure, still have to play 8 American Athletic Conference games. It'll just be against different teams, and who knows what's going to happen with that league. There are reports that Colorado State and Air Force will be joining. That would be just fine for football. You have to get used to going up against that triple option an extra time each year, but that is for down the road when we find out exactly who's coming in to the league. Now we know who we're playing this year. Conference play just began in soccer for this season, and the Bulls women's team got off to a nice start, a very exciting start, as you heard on Thursday night against East Carolina. Then in Fort Myers on Sunday, grabbed a 2-1 win against FGCU. And the person who scored the tying goal against ECU and both goals against FGCU is the American Athletic Conference Player of the Week. Of course, we're talking about Sydney Nicello. Now, you've already heard the highlight. No need to play it again from Thursday night. Okay, I'll play it again.
So that wasn't quite as far away as the McWhorter goal in the first half, but it was a long-distance blast. That time, Sydney Martinez had to see it coming, and she just couldn't make the save. Now Nicello gets into the box, has a rip, and a goal! I mean, to tell you, this is amazing! 2 minutes and 5 seconds left. What else could you ask for?
tell you what else you could ask for. The guy to stop yelling and also maybe another goal in overtime to win, which, as you know, the Bulls did valuably there. Now, just a couple of updates. First of all, I told you after Nicello's headed goal from Lucy Roberts on a free kick, Lucy, rightfully so, getting a place on the American Athletic Conference weekly honor roll. She also scored the first goal against East Carolina. The two goals that the Pirates scored on Sidney Martinez were from 35 to 40 yards. And then I told you yesterday that FGCU almost did the same thing, but it hit the post. Well, I happened to run into Sidney Martinez, and I said, "You think the right post?" And she said she actually got a hand on that ball. So I got to give her full credit. That went from being a near, well, frankly, bad give up to a big time save, maybe the biggest of the season, because we've been telling you, the Bulls, with those losses to LSU and Tennessee, but most importantly, the tie to FAU, don't exactly have much wiggle room through the conference schedule. If they're going to lose maybe one game in conference, they could still get an at-large. I think two would maybe tilt it to the direction of they're going to have to win their conference tournament. Well, if they had been tied up by FGCU and not beaten them, then we're really looking at, unless they run the table in the regular season and they have to go to Orlando and Memphis, so that's going to be tough, then you would almost have to win the American Athletic Conference tournament. But yeah, she got a hand on that ball, so that was a big save. Speaking of LSU and Tennessee, the two teams that have actually beaten the Bulls, LSU is still undefeated, started off SEC play Friday night with a win. Tennessee not only got its first loss, but its first goals allowed all year to Arkansas. Mind you, the Razorbacks are a team picked to finish first in the SEC. We'll keep an eye on those teams for you and how they do, because, again, the stronger LSU and Tennessee are, the better the chances for the Bulls of getting an NCAA tournament bid if they don't win the conference tournament. Right now, the record sits at 6-2-1. They go on the road to play Tulsa on Friday night. It'll be weird having a weekend with no soccer, but we'll have plenty of volleyball. We'll get to that in a minute. But men's soccer, we knew this guy was going to get on the weekly honor roll. Gabby Privatera scored two goals, both bringing the Bulls' margin to one after they fell behind 2-0 to, again, a top-10 team, Tulsa. And the first one kind of came out of nothing. It was all created by Privatera. And after that, I want to play the full sequence in real time on the second goal, because as impressive as a goal as it was, you'll also hear how quickly, and again with no editing, it's how it unfolded in real time, that Golden Hurricane took it from being, "Oh, the Bulls are in this thing," to, "Oh well, so much for that."
Privatera gets the ball. Now, something may be on here for the Bulls. Gabby into the box, and a good shot, and a goal! I'd say that was on! Gabby Privatera! What a run by Gabby Goal, and that was magnificent. Created by Josh Gomina, but really, Gabby did all the work himself.
26.
Galina is going to switch the field, gathers it up inside the right side of the box. Low ball, it's a good one, and Privatera scores! Galina with the service, and Gabby Goal living up to his name. Dos for Gabby. He is a finisher, you guys. We talked about all the Tulsa players from that unbelievable 26. Junior college program. Barton College was a stellar program, and he was their star player. And I said that Tulsa was bothered. They are really pushing into duty right now. Tom McIntosh making three substitutions after that goal. It was a good switch of the field to begin with.
Additionally, number 16, Tokiyoshi Wyatt.
Let's see if I can locate who made that first switch of field. Either way, Galina gathered it on the right side. And one touch, Privatera, and it is 3-2. So, obviously, no one's put up a two spot on this team yet this year, and the Bulls have. Unbelievable. 30 minutes left. You got to be careful for Tulsa to get angry and score right away, and it's up already to Austin Swinert, who created their most recent goal. There's a turnaround and a steal for Jeffis, and this could be a goal. Unbelievable it is. I told you. Austin Swinert right away. So the Bulls made Tulsa angry.
Their front line is pretty good. Their backups are also good, although Austin Swinert kind of came out of nowhere. This is a kid who in 3 years total had a goal and an assist. Had one shot this season, got a goal and an assist against the Bulls, and that's how it kind of went down. But yeah, Gabby Privatera is going to be, and already is, a big-time contributor for the Bulls. He didn't play in the first game due to some transfer situations he had to sit out. But yeah, he is a fixture in the starting lineup. As I said, no soccer on the channel this weekend because both teams are on the road. The men have a tough one at SMU, by the way. Top drawer soccer rankings on Monday. SMU ranked 7th in the country. Tulsa moved up to 5. Pretty strong couple of teams there. And right now, frankly, the outlook for the men is, unless they plan on, let's say, posting 7 wins in their last 9 games, which would mean minimum 3 wins against the group that includes SMU, Tulsa, and UCF, it's just the reality they're going to have to win their conference tournament in order to get to the NCAA. So they essentially, their goal for the rest of the year is to close the gap and or pull some results against the likes of SMU and Tulsa. They'll get a trip to Tulsa in a couple of weeks. But for it to be anything else, they would have needed to win those games that they didn't win against specifically NC Wilmington. That was 1-0 in overtime. Could have won that game and really should have won the following when they went to Fort Myers and settled for 0-0. Again, that was a game where the Bulls had a man advantage basically for the last hour. If you pull those into wins, then you're looking right now at a 4-2 record, with the 2 losses being to second-ranked Clemson and now fifth-ranked Tulsa. But instead, the record is what it is, which is 2-3-1. Volleyball is 6-5 after going 2-1 over the weekend. They will host 2 conference matches. They will play Cincinnati on Friday night at 7, and then East Carolina Sunday at 1. We'll have both of those matches for you live on USF Bulls Unlimited. Yours truly will be on the call. And while I'm thinking of it, we will put Bulls Unlimited 2, which is already in use, obviously. It gives you a nice variety. If you don't want to listen back to the last weekend's football game for a fifth time, you'll have a chance to catch something else on Bulls Unlimited 2 and vice versa. But the whole reason for the channel, which has been in existence now for almost 2 years, was in case there are 2 games going on at once. And that will actually be the case for the first time. So specifically October the 13th, a Sunday, women's soccer is hosting SMU, which, by the way, right now, if you didn't know, is the only ranked team in the conference. That's in topdrawersoccer.com. They're at 24th, although the Bulls are right there, close to being back in the top 25, I'm sure. So women's soccer at home against SMU, volleyball at home against Houston, both at the same time. So I've already cleared it. Jim Lauk is going to be on the call for the volleyball match. We'll have that on Bulls Unlimited too, and I'll be on the call for the women's soccer match. We were on the air with the football radio show. If you missed it, we'll have plenty of chances for you to hear the whole show, but some of the highlights of what Jeff Scott had to say, along with his guests. Stay tuned.